Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out in the Eastern Plains of Colorado with Steve on, also in the studio, homeschool father of six. And we apply the Word of God to every area of life and apply it to the area of pop culture. And I know some people have a hard time saying, hey, we can't breach the sacred secular line, but we are crossing over that line on this edition of the program as we talk about the importance of theology as applied to the movie. And I'm not sure people think about the importance of theology, Steve, but theology is critical. Theology is our basic understanding of God, of His reality, of His creation, of ourselves, of anthropology. And if we don't bring the biblical doctrine to bear into the area of culture and movies, then perhaps we don't even believe what we say we believe. In other words, what we believe on Sunday, what we hear about on Sunday, needs to apply on Monday through Saturday, even in the movie theater.
Yeah, and it was once said, I think it might have been Tozer that said the most important thing that anybody has in their life is their belief about God, which is their theology. Everything springs from what you believe about God. If you're an atheist, you're going to act in a certain way. If you are a theist, if you are a biblical theist, you're going to act in a different way. And that goes right to the movies, to the writers of the movies, to the actors, to the director. All of that happens depending on what you believe in God. That's what you're going to see in those areas.
The most popular movie in the country right now, in fact, the most popular movie in the world right now is The Nun. It's a horror movie called The Nun. And it's part of the Conjuring series, which we have treated before on this program, because the Conjuring series has been the most successful horror series of all time.
Wow. So is that N-O-N-E?
Nun? No. The Nun. N-U-N.
The Nun. Oh,
that's right.
Okay.
It's The Nun. It's not the nuns who are leaving the church. No. This is The Nun. And The Nun is the most successful top box office favorite this last weekend. And the Conjuring series has solidified 4 out of the top 10 box office horror hits thus far. Screenwriters are Chad and Corey Hayes for the series. Chad and Corey Hayes are Baptist turned Messianic Jews. And as with the Annabelle set, a priest has blessed the movie set for The Nun.
All right.
So the priest showed up, blessed the movie set, and while at the same time creating a fear of the demon world in an audience of millions, they asked a priest to bless their efforts. So that's
that makes it all right.
Apparently, it's gonna ward off the demonic influences while they're rendering their due obeisance to the demon world and encouraging a fear of the demon world. Well, it turns out that World Magazine did a treatment of this, and apparently World Magazine was invited to the set, according to the article, a creepy Romanian abbey, and they chatted with the cast and crew in both Bucharest and Mexico City. Some Christian artists think modern evangelicalism's rejection of the hellish in our storytelling deprives us of the chance to reflect on the serious aspects of our faith. Christian horror novelist Mike Duran wrote a book on the subject and has argued in outlets like the Gospel Coalition for a fresh engagement with the genre. And we've talked about this before on the program, that increasingly Christians are encouraging other Christians into the horror genre. With the caveat that Christians should be discerning of any entertainment we consume, Duran points out that what constitutes horror is quite diverse, and so forth and so on. It remains to be seen whether The Nun lives up to the Duran's criteria for worthy horror, and thus the article ends. But I'm not sure that World Magazine is encouraging Christians into the horror genre, but certainly giving some credence to this this fellow Duran, who's written a book encouraging Christians towards the horror genre. Now, in my book, The Tattooed Jesus, I point out that the intent of the horror genre is to create fear, but not to create the fear of God. The horror genre is presented in order to create the fear of evil or the fear of the demon world. That was the purpose of the horror genre from the beginning. And since Christians today have jettisoned the idea that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, the end result, of course, is the encouragement of Christians to fear everything else, because people will fear somebody or something. And seeing as Christians no longer are interested in the fear of God as the beginning of knowledge in the K-12 classrooms, and the vast majority of Christians send their kids off to a form of education in which the fear of God is not the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Now Christians are encouraged towards the fear of evil and the fear of the demon world because they will fear something. And that, my friends, is what is happening right now amongst the Christian population. Be back with more in just a moment to talk about the nun and the horror genre and how the sovereignty of God has got to overwhelm the sovereignty of evil in the mind of the true Christian. Be back with more in just a moment. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. Five states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. The question on this edition of the Generations Broadcast, can we sanctify the horror genre? That's the question today. And now what's interesting about the Conjuring series and the recent movie Hereditary is that they are actually bringing out historical demons with real names, demons that have presented themselves to history in some way, shape, or form with real names. In this case, the Valak demon appears again and again in the Conjuring series. And the movie Hereditary conjured up the ancient demon called King Paimon. And some call these movies the scariest of all because they're bringing out, they're conjuring, the movies themselves are conjuring or calling out the demons or recognizing the demons that that have been conjured by other conjurers over a period of hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, sadly, the demon world is deceitful. And so there is this sense in which Christians will participate in these seances, I'm sorry, these movies, and they'll conjure up these demons with the intent that somehow they're going to overcome or overwhelm these demons. But in the horror genre, that's not the point. The horror genre just brings the demon back sequel after sequel after sequel. That's the whole idea of the sequels involved in the horror genre. The demon cannot die, and the demon comes back to torment and to torment and to torment more and more in the horror genre. That's the whole point of the horror genre. In this case, it turns out that Ed and Lorraine Warren were the demonologists, the pseudo-Catholics that were supposed to be casting out these demons in these series. But the nun is apparently where the demon is reintroduced into history and brought back into real life. Now, it turns out in the Conjuring series, this is supposed to be a revisitation of the Warren confrontation with the demon. And apparently that happened, it was supposed to have happened sometime in real history. So the idea was to bring back demons or the spiritual world into the real world, acknowledge their real existence. But of course, the problem is There are several problems. The problem is that there is more spiritual power rendered to the evil forces. The humans are powerless to overcome the demon-possessed doll in sequel after sequel in the Conjuring series. And the exorcists attempting to battle the demon and the nun do not believe in the power of Christ to forgive sin at his justification by faith alone or to overcome the entire demon world. And also Lorraine, the exorcist in Conjuring 2, was a psychic and a medium herself. So the idea that a psychic and a medium can cast out the devil, again, is the idea of the devil casting out himself. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, sort of thing. Jesus spoke to that very issue. Chad Hayes, the screenwriter in Conjuring 2, explained in an interview with CBN that Lorraine, the psychic, the medium, is a woman of devout faith and uses her tools for the Lord. She doesn't charge money due to any of her stuff. And for that reason, apparently, she's a good psychic. She's a good medium. So, again, this draws in the Sons of Siva. And I think the Sons of Siva are producing these movies, Steve. I think that's what's going on here. Under the cloak of a Christian getting involved in the horror genre. So the Sons of Siva, they write books. The Sons of Siva, they write movie scripts. The Sons of Siva produce movies. The Sons of Siva are back. And who are the Sons of Siva? Well, let's just read from Acts 19. Some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of the Jewish high priest named Siva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, overpowered them, and so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So that's what happens with Christians that play with the horror genre. That's what happens with the Lorraines of the world who are considered psychic and mediums and yet are trying to cast out these demons or presenting something of an exorcism in the form of a movie.
Yeah, that also kind of gives you an idea of the fact that demons don't care about you, where God does. God knows each one of us better than we know ourselves. And yet here's these guys going, okay, well, I've heard of Jesus and I've heard of Paul, but who are you? I mean, they don't care about the people that conjure them up even. Once they use them and they're done, they just move on to the next one.
When we have severely compromised Christians who do not have a strong Christian worldview, getting involved in art, culture, and politics, it's usually bad news. In other words, we didn't want them to get involved from the beginning, because they have the wrong worldview and terrible things happen as a result of it. In this case, they're promoting more the sovereignty of the demon world instead of the sovereignty of God. And the same thing I noted in a Ted Dekker horror novel that we reviewed about 10 years ago, whereas we're reading the horror novel, we're discovering that it is not God who is sovereign. Man is sovereign in the construct of the modern evangelical. Sadly, the sovereignty of God and salvation, the sovereignty of God over all things, the sovereignty of God over the demon world, the sovereignty of God over Satan is not recognized. And you're not going to see it in The Nun. You're not going to see that God is sovereign over the demon world in the movie The Nun. And that's a fundamental problem. As long as nobody is recognizing the sovereignty of God, that it is God who is sovereign. And if there is any kind of an evil happening, if evil demons are molesting the world in any way, shape, or form, indeed, they asked permission of God ahead of time, as Satan did with the case of Job in the Old Testament. Remember, Satan went up to heaven and asked God for permission first. But that is not assumed in this series. Why? Because the sovereignty of God in the estimation of so many evangelicals and so many Christians or professing Christians today is not a doctrine that is rooted and grounded. They don't see God as sovereign over the salvation of men. They don't see God as sovereign over the demon world. They don't see God as absolutely sovereign over every evil thing that happens, including the selling of Joseph into slavery by his own brothers. God meant it for good while the brothers meant it for evil, Genesis chapter 50. And they don't see that God was absolutely sovereign over the most demonic and horrible evil thing that ever happened when the Romans and the Jews had the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. So they don't see God as sovereign. They don't present God as sovereign. And of course, if they did, that would ruin the horror movie. Are you with
me?
Make
it really short.
It would. It would. Yeah. Now, when I was a young man, sadly, I went to see a horror movie. So I've seen one horror movie in all my life. I think it was some 35 years ago. I went into a theater and watched one of these horror movies. And I kept thinking to myself, and I was, it was like a worldview conflict in my mind. There has to be a God who is sovereign over this sovereign demon who seems to have the upper hand in sequel after sequel and scene after scene in the particular movie that I was watching. And so, you know, because I was raised with a strong concept of the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereign, that any evil that is happening must happen under the authority and the sovereign decree of Almighty God. And so, you know, I was fighting the idea of fear. And I was also fighting the idea of fearing the demons or fearing evil, because I knew, as one who has been raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, that even as a 21 or 22 year old boy who was checking out the horror genre for the first time, I absolutely must fear God over these demons. And I shouldn't be scared. I shouldn't be screaming. I shouldn't be responding in fear as whoever's walking down into the basement and confronting the demon or whatever it was. So again, my friends, the Christian cannot give way to the horror genre. The Christian cannot appreciate the horror genre. When severely compromised Christians become the Sons of Siva Exorcism Department, they give more credence to the devil in the end, not less. And that's the goal. I'm telling you, that's the goal of the principalities and powers behind the production of the horror genre.
Yeah, and when you look in the Bible, when Jesus cast out demons, he didn't go through all the gyrations. Oh, he didn't grab, no, you know, whatever, you know, the Old Testament scrolls and beat them over the head.
There was no contest. He backhanded the legion into a pile of pigs, and they ran off the cliff. Yeah. I mean, this is Jesus, and of course, the demons themselves are falling down before him, saying, "Oh, Jesus, have mercy on us!
Yeah, don't send us into the abyss!
Don't send us into the abyss. There's no contest, because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the creator of all things, including the demons themselves, and they recognize it. Now, that is not presented in the horror genre in such a way. And friends, the assumption here is just because it reintroduces the spiritual to a mechanistic, materialistic world, it has to be good. And that's the assumption made by many of these Christians. Well, oh, at last, we're recognizing the supernatural world, and we're moving away from the purely naturalistic world into the supernaturalistic world. Not enough. Yeah. That's what we're saying. Not enough. No. We can't just rely upon the reintroduction of the supernatural world, when the reintroduction of the supernatural world is the reintroduction of the devil himself and the power of the demonic world. So, friends, again, that's not enough. Witch doctors and pagan tribes, very spiritual. They're very spiritual. They're very demonic. And the feminists, the transcendentalists, the Nathaniel Hawthorns, the Susan B. Anthonys of the world were tied into spiritism and seances and demonic involvement. They were extremely evil people. If you just read their biographies, you'll discover this. The reintroduction of the spiritual world via these pseudo-Christians is not enough. The supernatural world, where God is not sovereign, where God is not the ultimate source of life, where God is not the creator, where God is not the redeemer, is a pagan, wicked, idolatrous world. And therefore, I think we have to reject the horror genre. Don't forget that the most successful reintroduction of the horror genre into the modern world came by a director by the name of Wes Craven. Wes Craven was another apostate who attended Wheaton College and majored in the liberal arts, of course, and psychology. He was raised in a strict Christian Baptist family and then went to Wheaton College, not unlike Ernest Hemingway, who also lived in the Wheaton College area and himself was a strict Baptist early on. But now Wes Craven was the grandfather of the modern horror genre. He reintroduced it in the 1970s, and these powerful apostates have done a great deal of damage. It's almost always apostate Christians who open up the demonic realm in the area of the media. And there's no surprise that we find Christians involved once again in reintroducing the horror genre and becoming the most popular horror series in the world right now. The Conjuring series, the most successful horror series of all time. The Conjuring series has 4 out of the top 10 box office horror hits, and will probably have a 5th as well. The Nun will probably be just about as powerful and as influential on the entire world as the others in the Conjuring series. So, friends, my friends, let's be very, very careful as we consider the reintroduction of the horror genre at the hands of apostate Christians, Wes Craven and others. It is apostate Christians that lead the cultural march into the area of media and culture. It's almost always apostate Christians who have done the most damage in the Western world, and the same continues into the horror genre in our day as well. Remember the continued episodes, the evil presence coming back again and again and again and again. At the end of Annabelle, the doll is shown again, giving evil a sovereignty and omnipresence and omnipotence that it should not receive. And the same thing happens with Friday the 13th, with 12 episodes where Jason does not die. He just returns again and again and again. Nightmare on Elm Street, same thing with the disembodied spirit of Freddy Krueger returning to the dream world 9 times for more murder and mayhem. Child's Play, same thing. God is not presented in these films as sovereign over the demon world, over the disembodied spirits. God is not sovereign according to these movies. Evil is sovereign according to this false worldview, and we cannot give way to it. The ultimate evil is sin, rebellion against God. The ultimate evil is not the demonic realm. The ultimate evil is sin. It's rebellion against God, and that's what is represented by the devilish world and by a world that has fallen into sin. The ultimate horror is hellfire. It's God's judgment. The ultimate horror is not what devils do. The ultimate horror is what God does in his judgment, and that, of course, is ignored in these movies as well. The ultimate horror is the wrath of God poured out upon his son on the cross, and that becomes the ultimate salvation for us. The ultimate horror is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where because of our sin, he was sacrificed as our propitiation, as our blood covering. He is our salvation. Indeed, the Son of God himself received the wrath of God poured out upon himself at the cross, and this becomes the ultimate salvation for us. And horror movies and almost all other films distract us from the real story. So again, let's come back to the real story. Let's acknowledge the real story. Let's not be distracted from the real story. And remember, the beginning of wisdom and knowledge concerning all reality is the fear of God, the recognition of the judgment of God, the recognition of the wrath of God. But ultimately, as we fear God, we come to love God because we realize that it was the wrath of God poured out upon the Son of God instead of us at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is the gospel. So set this worldview, set this story, set this view next to the horror genre and worship God and fear God instead of evil. And that, my friends, is the end of the story for us. I'd recommend the book, The Tattoo Jesus, our book on culture, and I have an entire section on the horror genre. I have an entire section on movies and how to discern movies at the horror genre level, at the genre level, as well as the ethical level and the metaphysical level, and of course the presentation as well, the methodological level. So we slice and dice movies in this book, The Tattoo Jesus, and enable you to properly discern pop culture, which is so dominant in our world today. The book is The Tattoo Jesus, What Would the Real Jesus Do with Pop Culture? Available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.